Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we need your help, so please share these programs, because they're digital, it's easy to do. Share them far and wide, and we're still trying to give you the best information we can on a variety of fronts, because we live in very tumultuous times, and we know that one wrong move could really upset your apple cart. So we're trying to stay out in front of things for you, and we keep bringing you guests that talk to you about a variety of topics. And today is no different. We've got Guy Gottschalk with us, and he's from what we call My Digital Money. Love the product, love it, because what is it? It's crypto. And ladies and gentlemen, the dollar's in trouble. The world reserve currency is in deep, deep, deep trouble, because Russia's gone gold. A lot of the world is going to follow Russia. Fewer people are adhering to the rule that you got to buy the dollar before you can buy petro. And that's our only backing. And with a $30 trillion debt and growing increasingly by the day, I'm afraid it's a matter of when, not if, the dollar tumbles. And that could mean bail-ins or all kinds of a whole host of things for you. So people are looking for alternatives, and they're looking at gold, silver, and what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about crypto, and specifically a lot about Bitcoin. Guy, welcome to the show, and your appearance here couldn't be more timely with all the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Dave.
Yeah, really a pleasure here, because I'm so looking forward to this. Here, let me move my notes out here in front and center. My goodness gracious here. Did you think, Guy, just 2-3 years ago we'd ever be where we're at?
No, I did not see all of this coming with the pandemic and global conflict and, you know, the way that the government has been managing our financial system. All those things together, I didn't think we would be where we are. Being a relatively young guy, I didn't think I would have to worry so much about the money that I've saved and what my future looks like. So that kind of forced me to get into crypto, to be honest with you, and that's why we developed My Digital Money.
Yeah, and what, did it come along at the right time? I'm looking at a number of factors here, and there's so many entry points into this discussion, because people basically are going to be sitting here and thinking, okay, there are going to be two types of people, three types. One, that they don't want to hear anything but the dollar, and that's fine when their banks close like they did in 1929. Well, they can cry in their soup, I'm afraid. They've had plenty of warning. The other group will be, I got a little crypto, but did I make the right decision? But the majority of the audience listening today is going to be the part that's saying, I need to escape the dollar. I don't want to be in the digital whatever Biden's bringing us, because I don't trust him. He hasn't done anything for America right yet. And so I'm looking at this as an alternative. So just as kind of an opening statement, what would you say to the audience about why crypto is a good idea and how it might be able to help you avoid catastrophe of the Federal Reserve Bank and the Biden administration?
Yeah, so at My Digital Money, we always preach diversification. And looking at, you know, what your money is doing in a bank account right now, as you know, inflation is crazy. Was reported above 8%, but that's not even true. It's much higher if I was to actually calculate it in the right way.
Do you mind if I say something about that? I've looked at this, and no? I've talked to economists, and your instincts are 100% correct, because it's not 8%. If you put the CPI controls in they used to measure in 1982 when they actually counted food and gas, now they've taken them out, like you don't have to drive to work or eat, and nothing that's shipped matters. This is ridiculous. But if you put food and gas back in this, the inflation rate's well over 16%.
Right, exactly. So, you know, if I'm earning, you know, I'm earning my hard-earned income, and I put it into a banking system, I'm barely earning, you know, not even earning 1% on it, right? And so how can you retire with that? So you need to diversify into assets that have, you know, bigger returns. And looking at crypto, you know, year over year, while it's volatile in the middle, the returns pretty much outperform any other asset class or has so far. And then because it's decentralized, so you don't have anyone that can actually manipulate the supply, with Bitcoin at least, right, you have a limited supply, then that makes it ideal, almost like digital gold, right? But you can actually move it much faster. You don't have to actually carry gold and give it to someone else. You know, it's more instant than that. So it's a great asset to put into your portfolio. I'm not saying to put all your money into that because it's still volatile. And again, we're not financial advisors. We just give the information. But it's a good idea to make it some of your portfolio along with other alternative assets.
You're really hedging against failure today. When people go gold, silver, and let's say Bitcoin, for example, they're hedging against failure, aren't they? In other words, some of what I'm doing is definitely going to survive, but the future is not bright, so this is why I need to diversify. Am I summing that up okay?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, again, it's an asset that kind of lives outside of any central control. And so it's the people kind of taking, you know, kind of things into their own hands. Because when you own Bitcoin or you own any other cryptocurrency, you actually own it, right? You're not, when you're using a bank, it's a fractional reserve system, right? Someone's saying you have $100,000 in the bank, but you don't actually have those dollars, right? The bank is using it to make money and to lend it out, right? Whereas when you own $100,000 of Bitcoin, it's yours, it's in your possession, and you can decide to lend it to someone and make a return on it, right? That's part of the industry of DeFi. You might have heard the word DeFi, decentralized finance. You can actually lend directly to an institution or a person and make, you know, 6-7% on that.
Would this be like a lawyer's contract, Guy, that you would sit down with the financial representatives and say, okay, we're going to draw up a loan agreement? Is that how that would work?
Well, yeah, but the difference is that this is what we call smart contract, which is actually code. So it's kind of like a lawyer's agreement, but it's automated into a smart contract. So basically, you know, you put the terms into a program that automatically executes it. So if you default on your loan, that money can be sent back to the person that owns the money or whatever it is, right? This is a great way to earn money. As you know, people taking their money and making the most of it versus, you know, the banks or the government, you know, or earning off of your savings.
So you could have the First National Bank of Guy and become a player in lending, and people would flock to you. You know what I hate about the Federal Reserve that we're not seeing in Bitcoin? And thank God, when I put a dollar in the bank, they can turn around and typically with fractional reserve banking, they can loan out $9 out of thin air. And this is why they don't want crypto, isn't it? Because they can't do it with crypto.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I was just at the Bitcoin conference and, you know, Peter Thiel, who made $5 billion in his IRA, you know, said it's the most honest system in the world.
Yeah.
Right. And had some bullish predictions there. And this is why, right? Because you actually, you know, have the money when you have it. It's not just, you know, numbers on the screen that the bank is telling you have $1 million. I think that's part of why crypto is so promising long term.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, an issue has come up that I wanted to ask you about it. Basically, I'd label it as Bitcoin is payment option in Russia. So we're seeing all these sanctions for their invasion of Ukraine. But can Russia escape responsibility with Bitcoin? And is this better than what they're trying to do by making the ruble gold-based? I mean, how does all this fit together?
Yeah, so I know a senior lawmaker in Russia's State Duma expressed openness to selling the country's energy in Bitcoin, but also just generally he expressed to move away from the dollar and the euro, right? And you can do that with a lot of other currencies. But there's a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt. There's an expression we use in the crypto industry, FUD. So there's a lot of people spreading FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. And so, of course, you know, the White House took the opportunity to essentially say that Bitcoin can be used, potentially be used to go around sanctions. But you can do that with other currencies as well. It's no different. It's just another alternative, right, to the dollar and the euro. Just like you have yuan and you know any other currency that you know another country can use to fund Russia. I don't really see it as that relevant. It's, I mean, the main thing is you can transfer it more quickly, so that has a lot of good use cases as well. You know, I know it was used a lot to fund Ukraine, right? So people can send money more easily. If the banks are closed, you know, you can kind of get around that. So I think it has a lot of good benefits too.
Yeah, well, I know why I like it. And the reason I like it is why the government hates it, because they really can't control it. How well can they track your crypto transactions for the purposes of taxation?
Yeah, so everything in the blockchain is public, but your identity is not easily accessible there. It'll show the wallet address and what the transactions are, but you won't necessarily be able to see who is transacting. Unless you use an exchange, right? If you use an exchange, some exchanges, you know, will potentially be required to report your transactions next year. And so you will be able to see when someone transacts on an exchange, but anything that happens outside of the exchange, you won't see the details. So you can always, you know, take your money, put it in a private wallet, and transact, and then you're required to report that still. But I don't know that the government has a good way to see that right now. It's only when you go and you put the money back into an exchange and, you know, cash out essentially to fiat that they may be able to do that by requiring the exchanges to share that information, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so they could go back once you appear with this money. Aha, we got him. Let's go back and see how long he's been avoiding his taxes. Is that how it would work?
Yeah, but I don't know that they would necessarily be able to get the transactions that happen in your private wallet with the technology they have at the moment. But yeah, you would be required to report that. And so there's different softwares out there where you can put in your wallet addresses and it can help you sort them out. But it gets pretty complex very quickly. And, you know, the government hasn't really taken that into account. So that makes it really hard for people. And it's been a big detractor to do your own taxes, because there's not a lot of guidance from the government. So that is kind of I have a good friend that basically has a business trading crypto and NFTs, and had to defer his taxes because there's not good clarity there, and you know, also it's just detracting from his business.
Well, you just brought up a term, NFT. Can you tell the audience what that is?
Yeah, NFT stands for non-fungible token. It's a way to represent ownership in the blockchain. So I can have an NFT for a piece of art or even for a property, and it represents my ownership in it. And then I can sell that to someone. So rather than relying on an escrow company or relying on some third party to tell me who owns this asset, you can put that in the blockchain, which is, you know, the blockchain is permanent. The data on there is permanent, so you can trust, you don't need to trust a third party, right? That's what allows us to get away from, you know, trusting the government to tell us how much we have, or banks, or, you know, escrow companies, or whatever else, like the DMV, let's say. If you want to represent ownership of a car, you can do that with a non-fungible token. And so you probably hear a lot of buzz in the art world about NFTs. There's a lot of people selling all kinds of digital art out there. And so it's a technology that allows us to move to be more digital. And it provides a lot of benefits for small businesses. And yeah, for people that don't have the resources, like, you know, the big companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you about
an important technology.
I want to ask you about the art thing. You said that, so you've got a piece of art. Am I understanding this correctly? And the art would be represented by a specific NFT, and that NFT wouldn't represent anything else but the art.
Yeah, it's a collectible essentially. So just like you have baseball cards, and maybe you have a business selling baseball cards. Actually, one of my good friends does have a business selling collectibles. So he recently got into NFTs. So this is digital collectibles essentially. And it's unique. It's not like Bitcoin where one Bitcoin equals another Bitcoin, right? Each NFT has its unique value because it represents a collectible. And that's where the word non-fungible comes from. So, yeah, basically you can buy a digital baseball card and you can go turn around and sell it. And people have been making really large profits in this industry. It's been a huge buzz. The industry is worth, billions, I think upwards of 70 billion and growing very fast. But the thing is, the IRS hasn't given good guidance on how to tax it. So essentially they have to default to comparing it to other assets. And the main problem is that they're comparing it to essentially like stocks where you have to pay, capital gains once you sell it, and that really is horrible for a lot of people that are making a business out of it, including my friend, because that means that when they sell it, that means that when they buy it, they can't write off the expense, right? They can only write it off in the year that they sell it. And so that really detracts from their business because that means they have to pay taxes with money they don't have, right? Because NFTs are not liquid like stocks or other assets. So,
Do you see a little game being played here by the government then?
yeah, I think I you could say that one can read it that way, yes, because what I think that the government can do better is try to understand what NFTs are, that they actually represent physical assets. So they should be taxed as those assets. If I use an NFT to represent a house, it should be taxed that way. It shouldn't be taxed as a security. Right, and by doing that, you kind of you're stunting the growth of the industry. You're reducing adoption. As I see my friend, right? My friend suddenly he's buying less, and he deferred his taxes to October. And he would be doing a lot more if there was more, it was actually a fair guideline in terms of how to pay taxes.
Yeah, because capital gains tax just eats you alive. It's
Yeah, and but the thing is let's say he goes and buys a digital baseball card, right, for $1,000, and so he takes $1,000 and he has to buy it with Ethereum. That's the detail you don't really need to know, but that means he has to pay taxes on that $1,000 in this year. But where's he going to get that money? He has that baseball card. He can't take part of that baseball card and sell it and pay the IRS. Right? So, because that's not liquid, you can't just, sell some of it, right? Like you can with other assets.
So does that mean
So
just
that means
merely acquiring the asset makes you pay tax on it?
Right. That's what that means. Instead of, acquiring that asset and then being able to write it off in the same year, you can't write it off. You have to pay, taxes on it. And you can't write it off until you sell it.
That's
So that's
ridiculous.
not good. And if
You've not
you're
made
trying to build
money.
a business.
Yeah, guy, you haven't made any money on it. Just because you acquire it doesn't mean you've made money on it.
Right.
Capital gains is based on the notion that you've made a profit. Now you're going to pay tax. They're just taxing you on acquiring an asset.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's it should be taxed like the asset it represents, but they're taxing it like it's a digital asset, like a stock, and I think that needs to be reworked. And also with NFTs, there's a lot of gaming that happens, so there's a lot of exchanges of tokens and a lot of complexity, which makes it impossible to report on. And so right now they look at it like, okay, let's say you're swapping a bunch of tokens as you're playing games, because that has to happen. Now every transaction you have to pay taxes on, which is completely unreasonable because you haven't made any money. You have no liquid money. How are you going to pay that? So for someone that's trying to earn money off of games, you know, there's a whole play-to-earn concept with games. And so there's a whole industry built on this. I know in the Philippines during the pandemic, a lot of people were able to pay their bills and essentially replace their salaries by playing a certain game, right? But, you know, you can't, that's the whole industry that's come out of this technology, that if we don't provide clarity from the government and come up with a fair way to be taxed, that you're basically taking away that industry, that opportunity for people to earn money from it. And essentially taken away from innovation. So, yes, yeah, so I think the government has to come up with clarity quickly and fair guidelines.
Okay.
And NFTs represent physical assets, and they need to be taxed accordingly.
And I don't think that's going to happen as long as this administration's in charge. And here's why I say this. My example doesn't even come from crypto. It comes from farming. It used to be you could pass along your farm and you only had to pay tax on the income, the gross income. And now they've put these new regulations in that, let's say you have $100,000 revenue from your farm and you pass on to your heirs the farm. Now they're taxing the anticipated wealth of tractors and everything else. So you might have $2 million of plant and equipment, but only $100,000 of income. So now you got to sell your farm to the bank just to get out of the deal. And it's kind of the same deal. I mean, this is their, and it's capital gains is how they're doing it. And then Janet Yellen wants to tax your appreciated value on your home, and she calls it unrealized income. It's all the same strategy, isn't it?
It is, but I don't think it's going to succeed. I think that at the end of the day, we're a democracy, and more we see politicians that are pro-crypto coming out. And I think in the long run, I think that we're going to have the right regulatory framework, because you can't stop this industry, right? And the U.S. will fall behind if we continue to do that. And we need to take the lead in this technology.
So let's take NFT, and let's say some people are listening, and they go, well, I can navigate this. Okay. But then there's some that are going to say, I can't navigate NFT. It just sounds too difficult. So if someone says, but I'm still interested in crypto. So if we leave NFT to the side for a second, where would people typically go?
Well, My Digital Money is a good choice. So if you want to invest in the long run, right? And we focus on building long-term wealth. So you can do it with an IRA. A lot of people don't know you can do that. And you don't have to worry about taxes. You know, if you do a Roth IRA, your gains are going to be tax-free. And if you do a traditional IRA, you defer paying taxes until you actually take a distribution in retirement. And so that means you could take whatever gains you have and put it back in, right? I myself had an old 401k from my first job I forgot about. I rolled it over. It was about 35K, and it doubled in 4 months. I sold, and I had an extra 35K that I didn't get taxed on sitting there, and I could then reinvest it when the market went back down, right? So that's huge. The compound growth is huge there. So we allow you to do that with an IRA. That, you know, that's something newer, and you can do it with us, and we actually pick up your call as well, so we can walk you through the process. So we make it easy, but you also have a platform to do it. Easily, you sign up in 5 minutes, and you could also do it with cash as well. So that's a good option, and there's a lot of different exchanges out there. But if you want to do it in an IRA, that's a good option. To use My Digital Money.
Yeah, see, I really like this because you know, and I know, but a lot of the audience may not think about this. If they got an IRA, it's tied to a business or bank that created it, and they go belly up, then you've lost your investment. With this, you're basically, are you converting the IRA to being backed by Bitcoin?
Yeah, so essentially you're taking... You could roll over or transfer from an existing IRA fiat, and then you buy Bitcoin in your IRA, and now you have Bitcoin in your IRA.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah.
See, that's really appealing to me. If I would call your call center today, that would be the first thing I'd want to talk about.
Right. Yeah, and then with a lot of these other companies, you can't even get anyone on the phone. That's one reason why we started My Digital Money, is because we actually have people that pick up and can answer questions about crypto and signing up, and you don't have to worry about losing your password or anything. And you still have a 24/7 platform that you can go in and decide to sell when your Bitcoin goes up 30%. You can set even a trigger order that will automatically sell. Then you have a profit sitting there that you don't have to worry about paying taxes on, and you can invest back in.
What do you invest back into? Because I imagine you have to invest back into a non-taxable entity. Is that right?
Well, you can invest in any cryptocurrency.
Okay.
So if you bought Bitcoin and then the whole market goes down, and you can rebuy back the same coin you had or something else, like Ethereum or any other cryptocurrency. And if you're not familiar with those, we also provide a lot of education. And you can ask our call reps as well. They're all based in the U.S. These are people that are actually very knowledgeable. So we give you the information. We don't provide advice. But, yeah, you can invest in all kinds of tokens. And eventually, NFTs will represent different assets. Like if you want to invest in property, I see like different tokens coming out where you can actually buy fractional ownership of a house. So you don't need to be super rich and be able to afford a whole house. You can invest in part of a house, right? That's where I see the future going.
What's the advantage of doing that, Guy?
Well, the advantage is that you can buy part of a house. So if you only have $20,000 and you want a safer investment, let's say, than Bitcoin, in real estate, I consider it to be relatively, safe. And so you can decide to put, $20,000 into that instead of needing to go and get a loan from a bank and go through the whole process. And a lot of times, in this market right now, it's really hard to buy a house because there's so much competition. So a lot of people come with full cash offers. So if you come and you want to take a loan and that's going to take a while, the seller prefers to sell it to someone that has a cash offer, right? But that all can be fixed if you can tokenize a house, right? You create, let's say, 1,000 tokens for a particular house. So there's 1,000 unique tokens. You can actually then sell 10 of those to Dave Hodges, 10 of those to me, 10 to someone else, right? And essentially have fractional, ownership.
Kind of like a limited partnership.
Yeah, and it's quick. You can just go and buy it today. You don't need to, go through this whole process of getting approved and, loans and all that, right? It's a more honest system, right? You basically buy with the money you have.
I see that. I love that.
It's automated.
How long is it going to be until we start seeing people paid in crypto from their jobs?
Well, there are certain companies that are already doing it. It's not mainstream yet, but I believe it's going to happen in the next 2 years, 2 to 3 years. We're going to see a lot more. For it to be fully in crypto, it's going to take 10 years or so. But yeah, it's already starting to happen. There's a lot of people interested in taking salaries in crypto, and I just attended the Bitcoin conference. Obviously, I was able to pay in crypto. So there are things out there, and there's, partnerships like with Google Pay, and there's other credit card companies getting into this where they're allowing you to pay in crypto. So there are people out there making payments in crypto already. And I think salaries, that's going to happen.
That's absolutely amazing. I'm hearing about something called XRP. Can you explain what that is and how it works?
Yeah, so XRP is Ripple, right? A lot of people may have heard of it because there was a famous lawsuit against Ripple by the SEC. And Ripple is a way to, it's a technology that allows you to send money across borders. So if you wanted to send money to a family member or a relative in another country, or you want to do business, with another business or someone else in another country, you can use XRP to essentially have a more seamless transaction that you don't pay a lot of fees on. Right now, if you go and you use like Western Union or some other methods, you're essentially going through the banking system, and there's a lot of middlemen that take their cut. So you end up paying a large fee, and sometimes it could take days for the payment to arrive, right? With XRP, it's very quick, the settlement time, and you essentially take the fees out of it. So it's really good for small businesses and for individuals, and XRP is a technology that provides that. Now, what happened is they were operating for about 7 years before they got sued by the SEC. And during those 7 years, Ripple was trying to get clarity from the SEC on whether they view the asset as a security. And they didn't get any guidance. And the SEC ended up suing them. And the value of XRP, you know, plummeted. And the lawsuit's been ongoing for over a year. And so now there's been some favorable rulings, and most people think that the Ripple will win the lawsuit, that essentially the SEC is going to have to settle in the next 60 days. And so that's a big win for the crypto industry, because, yeah, I mean, you can't just, you know, fail to give someone guidance and then sue them after the fact. There has to be a fair notice, right? And that was the Ripple counter argument, is that they were not given fair notice, and it's also not a security, right? It's a utility. If I have XRP, I can send money to a family member.
It's just government attacking crypto, because, like we said before we went on air, you're making illegal on Tuesday what was legal on Monday, and you know you can't get away with it, so you smear the name and hope you destroy the reputation so people don't put money in.
But it didn't succeed. As I said before, that strategy doesn't succeed, and that's been proven with this particular case. It's a big win for the crypto industry.
Well, that's
just
really
another
good
thing that validates my bullishness and why I'm investing for the long haul.
Okay, so you got someone that comes to My Digital Money, and they've got some gold, they've got some silver, and they're fairly knowledgeable there, but they don't know a lot about crypto. Like, they hear XRP and stuff, and they go, I have no idea what that is. NFT, what's that? But they know they want to be in crypto. What do you have your people, what is your staff trained to do with the novice investor? Take us through that.
Yeah. Well, number one, we have a good starter guide that you can download for free on our homepage.
How do you get that?
MyDigitalMoney.com.
Oh,
you go to MyDigitalMoney.com, and then top right, it just says get your free guide. You click on that. And if you call, we can email it to you. But that's a good starting point to kind of give you a high-level view of the lay of the land, if you will. We also have a lot of content on our YouTube channel. And even on our website, there's a learn page that you can get to from MyDigitalMoney.com. So you can learn, you know, some basic concept, like, you know, what is XRP, or what is this coin or that coin, you know, what is crypto, what is, you know, how do you, you know, invest? And so there's different content that is very valuable. And you can also ask people in our staff, you know, when you call, if you have a certain question, you know, you can ask, and we'll likely know the answer, and if we don't, we'll point you in the right direction. We'll send you content to your email. And so that's one of the things we focus on, is education, right? Is making sure that you have the knowledge to make a decision on what to invest in.
Okay. Now, let's talk about volatility for a second. Let's assume someone calls in and they ask this question. I really want to do this, but how volatile is it? How likely could it be that I could lose my money? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, so we are upfront that this is a volatile asset class, right? But that's what attracts me to it, because that means that I can also gain a lot. But what's great about it from my standpoint is that long term, I think it's going up, right? Just like the stock market, it's a series of higher lows. And over time, it's going to go up. So if you have a pile of money that you don't need to use today, you know, for your lifestyle, right? Like, there's a certain cash flow you need to live. If you have cash that you can keep on the side for savings, and you want, like, I usually recommend to have a risky pile, but again, I'm not a financial advisor. This is how I kind of do it for myself. Then you put it into crypto and keep it there. You hold it. Now there are some people that, you know, they want to swing trade more, and, you know, they see the whole market doubles. They want to sell and then buy again when it's low so that they can maximize their returns. You can do that, but it's riskier, right? So you have to be prepared to lose that. So really it all depends on your individual risk tolerance. But yeah, that's the way I approach it.
Okay, so in other words, your staff could advise, this is the conservative path, this is the more volatile, high risky, but possible high return path. So is that what I'm hearing there? You have differential approaches depending on risk tolerance?
Right, yeah, and basically they will advise, like, yes, this is a risky asset class, you can lose. So you have to be prepared to do that. But the longer you're willing to hold crypto, the better, because in the long run, it is going up. That's our belief, right? It's here to stay. And so even if you, let's say the value goes down 50%, you have to have the right appetite. You have to have the stomach for that, because, you know, for example, my brother-in-law, he invested early on and he lost 70% of the value he put in, but he kept it there. He stayed the course. And now he's up, you know, 5x or so, right? And so you just have to be okay. You have to be okay with the value dropping in the short term.
You know, there's another question out there that my audience is going to want to know, so I'm going to ask the question for them. Typically, and I don't even know if there's an answer to this, but I'm going to tell you, this question's out there in a lot of minds right now listening to this interview. For me to come to a group like My Digital Money and say, okay, I want to do Bitcoin or crypto or some combination, how much money does it really take to get started in terms of making it worthwhile?
Yeah, I mean, you could start with $50 if you want, just to get comfortable, right? We also have a play money account, as I mentioned on your show in the past.
Yes.
Where you can take fake money, right, and just get comfortable. But yeah, it's a personal decision of what you know, what your depends on your financial goals, right? But you know, I like to invest. You know, like for me, I started with 5% of my net worth. But everyone has their own goals, right, and what they're willing to lose. But there's no amount too small, right? You can start with a dollar if you want. You don't have to buy a whole Bitcoin. You can buy 0.0001 of a Bitcoin if you want.
Okay. And the other question people are going to wonder, and we've kind of touched on it, but in passing, so I want to address this directly. To the novice that's listening to this, they're going to say, okay, I get in Bitcoin and, boy, it does really good. It went up 20%. How hard is it to realize your profit? In other words, what's in digital that I've made versus how I make it tangible to be able to spend, like converting it to the dollar or whatever, or converting it to gold. What would you say to that?
Well, you could just go and sell it with a click of a button. Now, if you're using regular cash account, obviously you have to pay taxes. We make it easy because we do all the reporting for you. So
awesome.
At the end of the year, or at any time, you can go in and go into the portal and, you know, get the report and choose different ways that you, different cost basis methods that fit for you, right? So you can essentially take that to your accountant and you don't have to do much. But with the IRA is a great option because, you know, you don't have to pay taxes on those gains at all. So you just sell it and then the cash sits in your account. It's a sheltered, you know, IRA vehicle. So then you can invest it whenever you're ready. You know, you can let it sit there for 10 years if you want as cash, as fiat, and then buy Bitcoin or some other asset down the line.
Okay, so this leads up to this question now, too. You've been really good about making this clear, because I think to the novice, they're going, okay, I'm seeing some light here. So they call My Digital Money. What's the number they would call? Let's get that on the air.
Yeah, the number is 1-833-636-2008. So 833-636-2008.
You know what I thought of when you said the number? 833-636-avoid-2008 by going Bitcoin.
Exactly.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
And 636 spells out MDM, by the way. So
oh,
you could,
cool.
If you want a better way to remember it, 833-MDM. Avoid 2008.
Yeah. Well, people that were in Bitcoin in 2008 did a lot better than people that were in the banks or the market. Okay, so you're going to get a customer service person, and just from your answering these questions, I know your people are trained to answer the questions. So how long does the process take from the time that you make your first inquiry and you go, okay, I'm ready, and then you actually start participating? What's the turnover time?
Right, yeah, it all depends on your funding method, but to get an approved account, right, it takes 5 minutes to sign up online, and then it could take, let's say, up to a day to get an approved account. But then you have to fund your account, right? And so, you know, if you're transferring an IRA over, it could take longer depending on your custodian. Usually it takes about 7 to 10 days if you're trying to roll over a 401k or transferring an IRA. Now, if you're just putting cash in, you know, you just have to do a wire or a check or ACH.
Same as buying gold.
So
okay.
It just depends on your bank, but usually, you know, it takes 1 day or 1 to 3 days. But a wire is same day. A wire can be done in the same day.
I'm going to ask you for advice here because there's a growing number of Americans, and I'm one of them, that doesn't trust this administration not to pull a Trudeau. We don't like what you did politically. You supported the wrong thing. We're taking your bank account. So what we're seeing is a lot of Americans, Canadians are already doing this now, but a lot of Americans, too, are going to foreign banks like Ecuador and Chile and Mexico and so forth, and they're establishing accounts that the Biden administration can't touch because they might disagree with you politically. Would it be a good idea to open those accounts, and can you do it with crypto?
Yeah, so it's a personal decision. I personally don't.
Can you do it?
Think that you can. I don't think that it would be. I don't think that the government would be so extreme to just freeze your account for something like what happened in Canada. But it could always happen. You could always fathom, you know, scenario where that might happen. So you could create a private wallet for crypto and then basically keep it there, and then you could always cash out, you know, in a different country.
Pay your taxes. As an American, you're the only person in the world or a citizen that has to pay tax on foreign income. But I don't encourage people not to follow the law. But I'm just saying, I know you have more confidence in this administration than I do. When I saw Trudeau do it, and I see how Biden's just making up his own laws with executive order, that scares me. And by the way, there are 30,000 Americans that are doing what I'm telling you. In other words, they're going to foreign banks within the last year because they don't trust this administration. They want to diversify their holdings, so if they get hit here in America, they haven't lost everything. And that's why I wondered if Bitcoin would be a viable alternative to transferring funds.
Yeah, I think it is. And with IRAs, what I like about IRAs is that they would be the last that would happen with, right? It's never in history been done where like an account has been frozen or anything like that. So IRAs tend to have more protections. So that's what I like about, that's another thing that I like about IRAs other than the tax advantages, that I feel safer with an IRA.
That's a really good point. But you have answered a ton of questions I think beginners are going to want to know. I know we left a lot on the table, but that's why you have a staff and a website. Your website is mydigitalmoney.com, is that correct?
That's correct.
And then the number of people, if you're interested in finding out more from Guy and his staff, get a hold of them at 833-636-2008. And expect a call from yours truly here, too, because this is my next step on the foray in my education. And I figured if you could answer a stupid set of questions like I'm going to pose, the average person out there that doesn't know a lot about Bitcoin got a lot done today, too.
Yeah, happy to do it.
Yeah, it was really, really informative, Guy. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing your expertise. And folks, I'm telling you, you say gold and silver. Yeah, that's good. But is that enough diversification? I don't think so. I think when you have an opportunity to diversify in something legitimate and is functional and can make you money, I think you got to take it today because of the volatile times we live in. And here's another opportunity. Guy, once again, for my digital money, thank you so much for joining us for a very informative show.
Thanks for having me again. Always a pleasure.
Okay, look forward to talking to you again. Thanks a lot.
Okay, take care.
You too. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Common Sense Show. Thank you so much for staying with us. And thanks to Guy Gottschalk for coming on and talking about all things crypto, Bitcoin. There's so much misinformation out there right now. I look at this and I just got to say, we need clarity. Do I think it's a good investment? I think it's a great investment because it's not the Federal Reserve. It's not the dollar. You're not going to lose your money because the bank goes down. It's still mostly decentralized. So a lot of really good positives there that I thought we covered. The crypto IRA is fascinating to me because it helps you avoid capital gains tax. I'm going to find out more. We'll have Guy back and we'll explore a different aspect of this every time we go because as a lot of you are looking, okay, I know gold and silver is okay. What about crypto? Well, we're going to address that here in future shows. So I really hope you got a lot out of this. Now, I just want to make sure that we get some business taken care of here. A lot of you were really concerned because you said, oh, I was going to get that water filter, Dave, the Alexa Pro Pure Water Filter, and it's no longer available. Well, it is. It is. One of my contacts went to the manufacturer, and they said, yeah, is that really true? Dave Hodges said, you guys are out. And they said, yeah, that's true. We're not selling. I said, well, do you have any left? Yeah, we have some in the pipeline. Well, why not let Dave sell them? So right now, I'm the exclusive vendor for the Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter until they get more back in, and they have no idea when that's going to happen. So right now, for a limited time, you can get what you need, and they didn't raise the price. And I always say 3 is 2, 2 is 1, 1 is none. If you have to go scavenge for water, you're going to need more than one. And also, too, things break, get stolen, and so forth. We have 3 here at the Hodges household, and we're actually thinking about expanding that to 5. And I'd recommend you do that as well, because who knows when you're going to get another chance. So this is the best in the business. When you go to waterwithdave.com, you can click on that link and you'll say, oh, research there. Oh, my gosh, they're better than everybody they compete with. Yes, they are. It's not even close. So go to waterwithdave.com. Also, too, we have storable food. And did you see where Janet yelling at you? Our Secretary of Treasury, and she's former Fed Chair. She's calling for a conference at the UN, the IMF, and all her former globalist buddies. And they're going to say, what are we going to do about world, quote, unquote, famine? Famine. Do you want to trust a government to take care of your food needs that left 9,000 American citizens behind in Afghanistan? I don't think you do. So what are you going to do? Well, you're going to get storable food, and you're going to get a lot of it. People say, how much? I think you need to shoot for a minimum of 2 years. You just need to keep buying until they say, well, all the storable food companies are out of business now because of hyperinflation or this or that, or the government's made them sell them their entire supply, which I think is coming. So you really need to jump on this right now, and you need to do it today. And you're saying, okay, I'll get what I can and I'll get more as I go along. Go to preparewithdave.com. They have held the price, no price increases. They're still offering a sale. I don't know how they're doing that on the 1, 3, and 12 month packages. And it's restaurant quality, 25 year shelf life, 2,000 calories per day. Lots of diversity in the food. It's really the way to go. So you got water, waterwithdave.com. You get the food, foodwithdave.com. And one last thing, I am a customer of Noble Gold, and I believe in gold, silver, and Bitcoin, and Noble Gold is the best there is at what they do for gold and silver. They do a fantastic job. They can protect your IRA. That's right. They can gold back it, and because your bank fails doesn't mean your IRA is going down. It won't. And so it's a really good way to diversify, protect your assets. And when we go through this great reset, you can land more intact than people of comparative nature, and wealth is relative. So you'll be much better off than your neighbors and friends who did not take advantage of this. So go to goldbeforelate.com to find out more. That's goldbeforelate.com. They'll send you free material. Or you can call them directly at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Now, I want to clear up one thing that people are saying, and I'm getting emails. Dave, you're leaving the country. No, I'm not. I am exploring some of my assets leaving the country. Let me explain. If I have 100% of my assets in some type of American financial institution, Biden can do a Trudeau and says, I don't like Dave Hodges' politics. I'm seizing his entire financial portfolio, my retirement, my Social Security, my whatever. They can seize it. Your bank account, just like in Canada. It's the product of the Great Reset. And Klaus Schwab, you'll own nothing and you'll love it. Well, you know what? I love my stuff, so I'm going to diversify. I'm in the process right now of evaluating foreign banks, foreign real estate for investment, and you don't have to be rich to do this. I estimate you probably need about $50,000 of income, and you can start small. But you don't want to be like the Canadians were, like, I gave a pizza to the convoy and they took my bank account. You don't want to be in that situation. So let me clarify. I'm not looking to leave. Now, here's my caveat. I am a descendant of people who escaped Nazi Germany. I know what their economic threshold was when they started moving money out of the country in preparation for this, and I know what their political threshold was. And I have drawn my line in the sand, and I did a podcast a couple days ago, and I said, what's your line in the sand? And you need to decide. And when the government does X, Y, and Z, then I would leave. So accompanying your desire to move into foreign banks that are well-regulated, reputable, and buy foreign real estate and start to make money on this and become a foreign investor, and you can do it with a limited partnership with other people who are like-minded like you. I would deal with the financial first, but you need to have a country or two or five to escape to. Why? Because we have terrible people running our country. They're no different than the Nazis. And pay attention to a podcast I got coming up in the future where I will actually deal with this issue in something called the Milgram Experiment. We are no different than the Nazis. And this Milgram Experiment really clearly illustrates that. Not that you would be a bad person, but look at the people in charge. Do you think they care about you? I mean, we got Republicans that go on Tucker Carlson and bitch and moan and complain. You know, it's the horror of it all. And they go back to Congress and do their insider training and all the other nonsense they use to screw us. So, no, they don't care about you. And this is why I'm looking for financial flight, in part, and prepare for the political flight should it become necessary. One guy wrote to me and says, Dave, I just don't think I could get out of the country if all hell broke loose. Yeah, if you wait until the last minute, that's true. That's why you have to have a line in the sand and look at the warning signs. So, listen, this is just an appropriate plan B. Now, am I going to stand on this hill and fight for America? You're damn right I am. Am I going to have a plan B to recruit to? Well, every military commander has a plan B, and you need one as well. So I hope that clears that up. People say, Dave, you're ducking cover, you little chicken bleeper, and you're leaving the country, and the rest of us are going to be left here to fight for you. No, 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 no. But it becomes apparent when they open up the FEMA camps, when they take jobs away from Christians, they stop churches from worshiping, which they did during the pandemic, and they left the casinos open. It's really apparent to me that we're moving in that direction. That's why you need to develop a line in the sand, and I hope that's really clear. I hope that's really clear. And like I said, you do not have to be wealthy to start this. Now, if you're 1% of them, excuse me, if you're 40% of America that only has $1,000, buy food. Buy food. You're not going to be able to escape. There's nothing that you can do. Buy food. Buy food. Buy water filtration. So I hope this clears up that misunderstanding here. I'm standing in the gap. I'm going to be here fighting every day. But I'm also saying I'm not going to let Biden seize my funds. And if he seizes my funds and I'm still living here, well, then I got funds in other countries that I can still spend, and he hasn't totally devastated me, has he? And you say, okay, Dave, that sounds a lot better. I understand where you're coming from. And I would encourage you to develop similar plans because this government is not trustworthy. They are working against your interests. You know it. You can't name one thing this administration has done to benefit America. Not one. Isn't that sad? Well, anyway, hey, thanks for joining us today. We'll see you back here again next time. God bless all of you, and we'll see you on the other side.